We'll have a seat. Welcome. It's great to see you all. Thanks for being here today. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is Lee Renfro, and excited to be here with you all today. And we're beginning a brand new series called Now Playing. This is a unique series that we do at Life Point every year. You probably walked in and thought, this smells like a movie theater, right? With all the popcorn going on out there. And so part of it is we want to help take it an opportunity to intersect faith and film, right? Because there is this great collision in our world with messages from movies, and we want to see how does the gospel impact the messages that we're hearing and seeing. So today we're going to watch a trailer clip. but before we do that, we have some candy and popcorn. If you have not gotten to do that yet, we'd love for you to grab some of those and then come back. We'll give you about 90 seconds, and then we're going to watch the trailer to the movie Creed 3. And I'll explain more about what's going on with Creed 3 and really where we're going here this morning. So go ahead, take a few moments, grab some candy and popcorn. We'll watch a trailer in just a moment.
The higher you get, the harder it gets. That's life.
Because this is a war. It's a fight, it's a battle.
So, how long have you known each other?
We was like brothers.
My name came back. The past came back too.
There may have been a time when Damien had your back.
No friends in the industry.
But that's not what he's doing now.
My brother's been my brother's mate. They ain't no kidding me a fact.
Before I got locked up, I was the best.
You a coward, bro. And a fraud. Try spending half your life in a cell.
Watching somebody else live your life.
I had to draw the line.
I'm just getting started, little brother.
I had to draw the line between my brothers and my enemies.
I'm coming for it all.
He's not gonna stop.
Then you make him.
The one and only Adonis Creed, you're the best pound for pound fighter in the world. 3 years ago. It's been a minute since you've been out in these streets.
When I walked away from boxing, I walked away with some unfinished business.
You see that man right there? Do you remember him?
Hey, hey. No friends in the industry. I had to draw the line between my brothers and my enemies. A fact. Let us start if you don't want to keep it wrapped. Yeah, you hit us up and now we owe you something back.
Let him destroy everything you've built. Everything we've built.
Yeah, I had to draw the line between my brothers and my enemies. My brothers and my enemies. My brothers and my enemies.
You out there boxing. I need you to start fighting.
All right, now that we're ready to roll here, I hear the popcorn going, the candy. Ready to go here today. Hey, I forgot to mention as well at the front end, if you're new, if you're a guest with us, we're glad that you're here. You can head to this landing page, lpguest.com, as well as on the back of the seat, there's a little QR code that's there for you as well. There are a couple of reasons why I'd love for you to go there if you're new with us. One is there's a place for the notes that we'll have during the sermon here. And so if you'd like to follow along and take notes, you can do that there as well. Take your own notes and you can email those back to yourself so you can kind of keep a record of that. There is also a connection card that's on there if you take maybe a minute and fill that out. It's really helpful for us to get to know you and how you heard about LifePoint. But also, by filling that out at the bottom, there are six different kind of ministries that you can choose one of those, and we'll make a $5 donation to them on your behalf. And so your visit here is actually going to make an impact in people's lives, and we'd love for you just to take a moment to fill that out throughout our time here this morning. And then lastly, I wanted to make mention to you is today we're having our Starting Point class after this service. And so if you've been new to LifePoint for a few weeks or you'd like to stay after today, we'd love to invite you to learn more about LifePoint, our culture, our mission, and just see hear more about how you can connect here at LifePoint. If candy wasn't enough, I've got crumble cookies there for you. And so if you'd like to come to Starting Point, I'm not above bribery for you to come by and hang out there with us. And so we would love to connect with you in that way. And so it'll happen a few minutes after this service. I'll give you some more details about that at the end. So let's jump into our movie here today that we're looking at and examining through the lens of Scripture. And so just to give you a little summary about Creed 3. So Creed 3 comes out of kind of the Rocky franchise, okay? If you're around in the 80s and 90s and, you know, you've seen Rocky Balboa, Sylvester Stallone, Rocky and Apollo Creed, those first two Rocky movies where they're battling it out. And so Apollo has a son, Adonis Creed, which is where he gets his name there. And they kind of began a separate little franchise several years ago through him there. He had grown through the boxing ranks. But one of the things that we learn in this movie, this film in particularly, is that there was an episode that happened in his past. So Adonis Creed, really good friends with Damian Anderson. And so Damian Anderson there was older than Adonis Creed. He was a amateur boxer, was really rising in the ranks, and one day had dreams of playing in the Olympics, boxing, getting a gold medal, and ultimately being a heavyweight champion of the world. They met in like a group home. They both had grown up in kind of foster care situations, a really difficult situation for them. In particularly, they were in kind of an abusive home. And so Creed runs into their home, the foster dad, the guy that was leading the home at that time, and jumped him right outside a gas station there. And all of a sudden, the guys show up, and then Damon Anderson shows up and pulls a gun on him. And then the cops show up, and then Creed runs and takes off. And the cops show up, and Damon Anderson gets 18 years in prison. And so that's where a lot of this guilt that starts to come up in Creed. You see that he's talking about. And really with Damien, he feels a sense that Creed has lived the life that he should have had. And so while he took prison and in a cell and was locked away, Creed was boxing, heavyweight champion of the world, having all kinds of fame and success. And now Damien Anderson is out and he wants a shot. And Creed feels all of this kind of guilt from it, right? Like he sees his friend who got locked away for something that was really his fault. And he doesn't really know what to do with that. And so today, what we're going to talk about is really how do we deal with the pain and hurt from our past? Like, what do we do with guilt that we feel on the inside? How do we process that? What do we do with that? Because if you're here today, I know for all of us in here that there are things in our lives and in our past, right, that we wish we could have a do-over. Right, there are things that we've done, things that we've seen, things that we wish we could have gone at it a different way. Let me just go ahead and just share one with you from me. Don't worry, you don't have to share any with me this morning, okay? I won't go that far with you. But one episode in particular that I would love a redo at, a mulligan if you would, is back in high school, a girl I was dating for a few years. We had been dating, but I kind of knew that this relationship was likely coming to the end. I mean, a couple years in high school, I mean, that might as well be a lifetime, right? And so, but we were juniors, and it was towards the end of the school year, and I thought I was heading to senior year. Maybe it was time to kind of just have a fresh start. And so I ended up breaking up with her, although I probably shouldn't have done it on her birthday. Probably wasn't the best timing to do that. So I wish I would have done that a little bit differently in the past. And so I have a hard time of really just you can just read me. People, you know, she's just like, hey, you seem off. Are you okay? And, well, I wasn't. And pretty much it led to, you know, us breaking up, and it was her birthday. And anyways, not a good day. Not a good day. Wish I could have done that one all over again. And see, I know that you have those too in your lives. You have those moments in your past. You have things that you've done, things that have happened to you that you wish you could go back and change altogether, right? And we're going to look at someone in the Bible today who has the same thing, right? Has a moment in his life that I know he wishes he could go back and do it differently. He wished he could go back and change it because it shaped him, right? It was a moment where he felt the most regret. He felt guilt. He felt shame from that. And we're going to look at when Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, denies even knowing him. And so a pivotal moment in Peter's life. And just like I said, we all have those moments in our lives. But here's kind of the big idea that I want you to walk away with today is that we need to let the past remind us, but we've got to let Jesus define us, right? And so we've got to let the past remind us. And we're going to look at our past today. We're going to look at our past. We're going to look at the pain. And we're going to look at the price that is paid for forgiveness and dealing with our guilt. But We've got to let the past remind us. It's good to know what our past and what is there. But the problem that you and I have with our past is we don't just let it remind us. Too oftentimes, we let it actually define us, right? Like, we let our past, we let mistakes, we let things that have happened to us, we let those things begin to define how we see ourselves, right? How we view the world, how we view people. And it could end up being something that ultimately, as we look back on, we see it core to who we are. And the good news today is we don't have to let our past define us, right? We can actually let Jesus be the one who defines who we are, how we see ourselves, and how we can see others. And so hopefully as we look at Peter and his little bit of his story, that you can walk out of here looking at your past and letting it remind you of some things, right? But not letting it define you, but letting Jesus be the one who ultimately defines you. And so let's go ahead and look at our first point this morning and looking at the past. If you've got a Bible, you can jump to Luke chapter 22. We're going to be verses 55 through 62 today. And so just a little bit up until this point in Luke, the Gospel of Luke that was written here, Luke was a doctor, a very intelligent man, and so was painstaking and investigating all the things that Jesus had done during his life and ministry. And this is towards the end of his account of Jesus' life and ministry. And up until this point, coming over a little bit of a flu here, so apologies for that. But Jesus had been doing incredible things, right? He had healed people. He had really spoken really truth about who he was and what the kingdom of God was really like. And really that he had come to be the Messiah, to be the one that the Jewish people had been waiting for. But he was coming a little bit differently than they had pictured and imagined. And he'd upset some people, the Pharisees at this time. And so he had been telling them that he was going to be arrested and that he was going to die. And Peter, up to this point, was like, no way. Like, we're not going to let them get to you. We're going to protect you, right? I'm willing to die for you, Jesus. You're not going to be the one to die. And Jesus tells Peter, I know you're bold and you think that's what's going to happen, but here's the deal. Before the end of today, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but three times. You're going to deny even knowing me, right? And Peter's like, no way. I would never do that, right? Like, he is so confident in what he's going to do. Since Creed 3 is a boxing movie, I love the reference that Mike Tyson would say, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, right? And so Peter feels like, I'm never going to deny you, Jesus, until the world gets turned upside down when these Roman guards come and take Jesus. And so let's look at a little bit of this moment that happened with Peter in his past. Luke 22, verse 55 and 60. And when they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light, looking closely at him, said, this man was also with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly, this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the chance that we have to look back, Lord, potentially in our past and look at maybe some things, God, that God, we wish could be a little bit different. And so, Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, you'd be the one working in our hearts and teaching us today, that you would help shape us and change us, that we'd be different than when we came here this morning. And so, Father, I ask what we know not, would you teach us? What we have not, would you give us? And what we are not, Lord, would you please make us? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we have this moment recorded in the Bible of Peter's past that I know he wishes could be different. And like I said, I think we all have those moments in our lives. We have these things that have happened in our lives that we wish weren't written down for the world to see, right? Like in the Bible, like it's kind of there forever, right? There for a long time. And there are things that we know that if there was a book written about your life and my life, We don't want it in there. We do as much as we could to make sure that that's not in there. If there was a movie made about our lives, there are some things that we would say, I don't want this in there, right? We all have that in our lives because we're all broken people. We've all either hurt somebody, we've sinned against them, or we have been hurt by somebody. Everybody in this room has been affected by their past, one way or another. Because we live in a broken, fallen world, we've all experienced things in this world that are painful and that hurt. And so what do we do with our past? You see, I think what's common for many of us, the way that we look at our past is we do one of two different things. We want to forget it. We look at our past and we want to do all that we can to forget about it. We don't even want to acknowledge that it's there. We just want to pretend like it didn't happen. Because if by some way we think and forget about it, it didn't happen, then it won't hurt us. This is in the movie Creed. This is what Adonis Creed really wants to do. He talks about, mentions it over and over again, right? When he thinks about his time in that group home and other places, that there's just a lot of hurt in his past. And he just says, I don't even want to remember it. I've tried my best to forget it because it's too painful for him to go there. And so we think that if we forget it, it's like it didn't happen. But we know that's not true, right? Even if we forget about it, it's still there. It still happened. There's still hurt that comes from it. So another thing that we can do with our past is we can fear it. Like we can look at our past and look at it, and it has this power over us. I talked a few weeks ago, and this idea of fear, that fear controls us. It controls you and me. How do I know that? Well, if there was a snake underneath your chair right now, I would know it because somebody would be screaming and yelling and jumping out of here, right? Fear has control over it. It does something to us. And so when we look at our past and things in our past, and if we have fear towards that, it can begin to control us. It controls how we view people, how we view ourselves, and it can be hurtful for us because we're not really dealing with it, which is, I would love to invite to that third way that we can look at our past is we can face it. Right? Rather than forgetting about it, rather than being afraid of it, we can actually face it. We can look at our past for what it really is. Right? As hurtful as some things may actually be, until we actually face it, we don't really know what we're dealing with. You know, because reality is our friend. When we can look at something for what it really is, we can actually begin to address it. Right? We can't really fix things that we don't know are there, if we don't really look at it for what it is, if we don't really want to talk about it. This is in the movie, you saw a little bit in the clip there, Creed and his wife Bianca, and she over and over again throughout the movie is just wanting him to talk to her, right? She's just saying, tell me about what happened, talk to me about it. Because he wants to forget about it, right? He doesn't want to fear it. And she just wants him to face it. Let's get it out there. Like, let's just be honest about what happened so that we can begin to actually deal with it, right? And try to bring about healing. But if you keep hiding it, it's going to do more damage than good in their lives. And you see, this is where I think, like, the fact that we have this instance from Peter's life recorded in the Bible, he can't hide from it. It's there. Right? And I think what I really appreciate the most is, how do we know that Peter maybe wanted to face this? Is, well, the Gospel of Mark also records Peter's denial of Jesus. You may say, well, what's that have to do with anything? Well, John Mark wasn't one of Jesus' disciples, wasn't one of his closest followers, right? But John Mark did ministry with Peter. And most commentators and theologians believe that Mark's gospel was written from Peter sharing about his life and ministry with Jesus. And I think it's fitting that we see in John Mark, that Mark wrote this denial of Peter facing it and saying, that's okay, I want the world to know that. I deny Jesus. There's something in my past that I am not proud of. He's letting the past remind him, but he's not letting his past define him anymore, right? We see some growth that's happening, I believe, in Peter's life there. So we need to face our past. That's the past, but the reason why we need to face it, let's begin to look at the pain, because we've got to actually deal with maybe the hurt that's there, okay? So there is pain from his past. Let me keep reading from Luke 22, verse 61 and 62. The Lord turned, that's Jesus, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and he wept bitterly. It didn't just say that he went out, he ran away, but there's this idea that he wept bitterly. Peter's spirit was crushed. The person he admired and loved the most, he had let them down. The person he had looked up to, he had failed. And I imagine he didn't just know that he failed, he probably felt like a failure. Shame was ripping through Peter's core. When Jesus finds Peter after he's resurrected, Peter's out on a boat fishing. He goes and finds him out there. He's with his friends. And so there's just these moments for Peter where he's got pain going on in his past, and we all have pain. And the problem with the pain from our past is we don't want to deal with it because it hurts, right? You got to be a little crazy to want to willingly try to endure pain, right? I always think about people who work out or marathon runners or just people who put themselves through things that are really painful and hard and challenging, right? There's a certain mindset that you have to have with that, right? None of us really just say, yes, sign me up for more pain and hurt, right? So the problem with pain is it hurts and we want to avoid it. And so here's what we do with pain, especially when it comes to our past, is we try to numb it. And this, sadly, I think, is what a lot of people in our culture, in a room of this size, I imagine some of you in here do this as well, is there's some things in your past that hurt. Trauma, abuse, maybe things that you've experienced or things that you've done that just hurt. And you just want to numb it. You just want to make it try to go away. So we numb it with alcohol. We numb it with drugs, pornography. We numb it with anything that we can maybe try to just take away this pain from us. Because if we don't feel it, maybe it's not there. And while the pain may not hurt, the pain may go away, but it's not healed. So before we moved up here, before I started in November, as the teaching pastor here at Life Point, Plain City, our son Jonathan had broken his arm. Our little daughter, sweet Eliana, maybe she wants her name nameless, but playing downstairs and pushed him and off of a table. She jumped off the table onto him and he fell and hit the ground. And just the way he landed, it broke his elbow, broke right above it there. And so he was in a lot of pain. And so we went to the hospital, and of course, what'd they do? They gave him medicine, right? They gave him some really strong medicine to try to take the pain away. And it helped. It did. His arm wasn't hurting like it was. But his arm wasn't healed. Like, his arm wasn't fixed. Like, they had to go in and do surgery and put pins in and realign it there. And that was still painful and that still hurt, but the pain went away and the arm healed. And he could straighten it out now. That's what we're hoping. Can we get straight arms now? And so when we just try to numb our past or the pain that's from our past, it doesn't bring healing in our lives as much as we maybe try to hope that it does. And it ends up getting us in more of a cycle of pain management, and it leads to more and more hurt in our lives because we don't actually deal with it. And so we either try to numb it, or the other thing that maybe we try to do, and this was what happened in Creed 3, is we try to make up for it. We see pain that we've committed or that's happened, and we do all that we can to try to overcome it. Like, if I just work hard enough, if I just prove that I'm worth whatever it is, or I'm not defined by this, so I'm going to prove to others who I am. Like, I know for me, there are things in my past that were very hurtful and painful for me. And I thought, man, if I could just be a good enough athlete, if I could just work hard enough and get to college or have the right kind of girl, then I felt like, man, I would overcome this pain that's there. We just try to work and overcome it, but it doesn't heal it. It doesn't heal the pain that's there. So no matter what Peter does, whether he runs away and hangs out with his friends or goes back to fishing, he's got to bring healing to the pain that's there. And so that takes me to the last point that I have here is how do we actually do that? How do we address the pain that's there from our past? In order to do that, we have to understand the price. That if we want to deal with the pain, we've got to understand that there's a price to pay for it. We've got to do something in order to begin to experience that kind of healing in our lives. There's always a cost and a price when it comes to pain and when it comes to sin in our lives, right? Because again, like, pain comes from when we have sinned someone else. That's where the guilt that we feel that we've wronged somebody. What do we do with that? And then what do we do when somebody has wronged us? Somebody has sinned against us? Or what do we do because we just live in a broken world that sin has affected and we just experience brokenness? How do we deal with that? Well, thinking about guilt in particularly, especially that's the theme that's going on in this movie, is the antidote to guilt in a way is forgiveness, right? Like to experience forgiveness from someone. And forgiveness always has a cost to it. Like somebody's always having to bear the burden in forgiveness. And so if I was, you know, leaving the parking lot here and I was backing up and I rammed into one of your cars, right? Hopefully graciously, I would say, hey, I'm so sorry for that. I wasn't paying attention, whatever it is. And you would say, hey, it's okay. I forgive you, right? Sweet. So I guess I'm off the hook then, right? We can just go. But you're left with a dent in the side of your car. How's that going to get fixed? I guess you're going to pay for it? Or I guess I'm going to pay. You're going to say, no, the insurance is going to pay for it. That's how that's going to happen, right? But one way or another, to offer forgiveness is saying, I'm not going to hold you liable for that anymore. I'm not holding that against you anymore. And we're either going to take that on ourselves, right? Or we're going to hold on to it and we're not going to forgive them and we're going to leave it with them. I love this quote by Tim Keller in talking about forgiveness. He's got an incredible book on it, forgiveness. Look it up. And if you, this is an area you'd love to, maybe the Lord work in you a little bit. I can't recommend that resource more highly. Tim Keller says, forgiveness is granted often a good while before it is felt. Not felt before it's granted. It is a promise to not exact the price of sin from the person who hurt you. It is likely you've always thought, well, I have to feel it before I grant it. Have to start feeling less angry before I start to not hold them liable. If you wait to feel it before you grant it, you'll never grant it. And you'll be in an angry prison. There's a price with forgiveness, right? And it's either you are going to pay for it yourself or someone else is going to pay for it. So paying for it yourself, right? This is saying I'm going to take it on myself, or your guilt, you're going to try to pay for it and overcome it. And really this was the path that Adonis Creed kind of felt like in the movie that was about him there, right? Like he felt guilt over what had happened, and so I'm going to pay the price for what I've done by trying to give him a shot, by trying to work it, by trying to prove who I am and that I'm not defined by these things anymore, but I'm going to define who I am. And so he's going to try to pay for the price for himself, but it's unbearable for him. He can't do it. Damian Anderson's doing the same thing. I'm going to pay the price. So he's boxing and fighting, and he's out to destroy the world. But the cost is still too high. Neither one of them find freedom from it. And that's where I think where we begin to see what the real cost of forgiveness is when we look and let somebody else pay it for us. We say, how can we do that, right? If it's my wrong, well, how can somebody else do that for me? Well, that's where Jesus shows us, really, why we can even experience forgiveness for our wrongs. And look at how Jesus encountered Peter and his wrong. If you want with me, you can flip to John chapter 21. This is after Jesus' resurrection. He meets Peter on the side of the boat. Peter's out fishing with his boys. They're not having any luck fishing. And somebody from the side says, have they caught anything? And they're like, no. And he says, hey, try the other side of the boat. I don't know if you've ever been on the water. It's like, it's all the same water here. What does it matter what side of the boat we're actually on? Well, they're like, okay, fine. So they flip it over. It's filled with fish again. And Peter's like, I've seen this before. I know who this is, right? Jumps off the boat, runs, swims to shore, and it's Jesus. And Peter's excited, but I can't, we don't, the Bible doesn't tell us this, so this isn't, you know, divinely inspired, but knowing what Peter has gone through, I can't help but think that perhaps in the back of his mind is he ever going to forgive me? Right? Like, I messed up big time. He looked at me and said, upon this rock, I will build my church. The confession that Peter gave, right? That Jesus is the Christ, and I screwed up big time. Like, I denied him. I said I didn't even know him, not once, but three times. I don't know if he's going to want to use me anymore. Is he going to say, like, stop following me? Like, have I screwed up too much for Jesus to want to use me anymore? Like, I can't imagine what all is maybe going on in Peter's mind there. And so Jesus had prepared breakfast, and let's jump in verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Likely he's either referring to the disciples, like, do you love me more than your friends here? Or other people would say, do you love me more than these fish, like the fish that we caught and your trade and that kind of stuff? Either way, he's saying, hey, do you love me more than these things? And Peter, of course, is, yes, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And then he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. And then he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? But this time, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? It hit Peter. Jesus was talking about the moment I wish I could forget about when I denied him before others. It grieved because he knew that he had hurt his Savior. But also, I think now there's this moment of knowing, but he already knows that. He already knew that. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know it all. And you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And a few verses later, Jesus tells Peter, follow me. It's this moment of restoration that happens to where Jesus says, Peter, man, you are forgiven for what you've done wrong. Jesus said, I absorb the cost of that, because this is after the resurrection. He says, you are forgiven because I've already paid the price for your disobedience, for your rebellion, for your lack of acknowledging me, for your denial of me. I love this moment where I think Peter was maybe wondering this, but now he knows for certain where he stands with Jesus, right? He doesn't have to hold on to that. That's why he lets the past remind him, but now he knows Jesus is the one who defines him. That while there's things in his past that hurt, that he wishes he could do over again, they don't define him anymore, right? He's acknowledged those before God. See, when it comes to our guilt, we can either conceal it, hide it, or we can confess it. And I think by having this out there for Peter, confessing it, acknowledging it, we're able to face it and give it to Jesus and let his word speak into it. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt anymore. But what it means is that Jesus walks with us through that pain to where eventually maybe it doesn't hurt anymore, or it doesn't hurt like it used to, because on the cross, Jesus took it. And that allows us to not hold on to the bitterness, the anger, the guilt, but we can actually be free of that. Galatians 5:1 tells us, for freedom, Christ has set you free. And in Ephesians, Paul writes these words. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Forgiveness isn't free. It costs something, but Jesus paid the price for it. So when it comes to the wrongs that you have committed, yes, against other people, but ultimately we've committed wrongs against a holy God. We have wronged him. And we need his forgiveness. And here's the deal. His forgiveness only comes through Christ. Because Christ paid the price. Jesus paid the price for his forgiveness towards you and towards me. And he offers that to us. And so for some of you in here today, maybe you need to experience the forgiveness for the sins that you've committed against God so that you can begin to actually experience the freedom of maybe sins you committed against other people. And maybe for the sins that we're going to commit against other people, that we can go back to Christ and we can ask for God's forgiveness and knowing that through Jesus Christ, it's already given to us. But there's something even more powerful that I think the Bible speaks about. It's not just our forgiveness between God, which is a really big deal, but James records in the New Testament, he talks about that we need to confess our sins to one another. Not so that we can find forgiveness from that, but he says so that you could find healing. And so I wonder for some of us in here that maybe there's some healing that needs to happen in our hearts because there is maybe some things inside that we've been concealing that we just need to confess to someone and to share that with them, to begin to face it and to let the truth of who God is and truth of his word and the truth of wise counsel to maybe begin to speak into that for you so that you can begin to find healing and not let the guilt and the shame keep you captive any longer because God wants you and I to live free from that. There's this beautiful moment at the end of the film where Damien Anderson and Adonis Creed, they're sitting next to each other. They boxed it out. If you want to watch it, I won't tell you how it ends, okay? But they're sitting there. There is some language in there, just so you know. It's not like a kid-friendly movie. Hopefully you probably got that by the trailer, but anyways. But they're boxing it out, right? And at the end of the movie, they're sitting there and they're talking to each other. And there's this moment where it feels like the weight's lifted off of both of their shoulders because it feels like for the first time they've actually forgiven one another. But the way that they do it, the way the movie depicts it, I don't think it does enough justice because they essentially say, you're not responsible and I'm not responsible. So Damien tells, hey, you're not responsible for what had happened, man. Like, I went to prison because of my choices. And then Adonis is like, well, you're not responsible because you were just a kid, right? And there's this moment of like, oh, okay, we're good, right? But who is responsible for our actions? Like, I think it feels good in the movie, and I'm glad that there's a sense of freedom from that, but at some point, there is a responsibility that we have for our decisions and for the things that we've done and not done. So the solution to that is bringing them to God and through Jesus Christ to know that there's no sin that you can commit or be committed against you that cannot be forgiven. Because at the cross, Jesus paid for all of it. Not just the little stuff, not just for the kind of big stuff, all of it. It's all forgiven through Christ so that we could be free from it. So we're not held back from the bondage of our sin and our shame anymore. So that's why we can look at the past and let it remind us. Let us remind us of maybe so that we learn, hey, I'm not going to go down that path. I'm not going to kind of trust these kinds of people. I know kind of wisdom, like things to do from that. We're going to let our past remind us, but we're not going to let it define us anymore. We're not going to let it tell me or you who we are and how we're to live anymore. We're going to let Jesus do that. We're going to let his word tell us who I am, that because of Christ, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1 tells us, right? We let the gospel be what defines you and me, that my sin is forgiven through my faith and trust in Jesus, that he took it all on the cross. So that while I'm not who I am anymore, I know that God is making me into who he wants me to be. Would you bow your eyes and close your eyes and bow your heads and close your eyes? There we go. Just would love for us to just take a moment to kind of respond. Because I imagine for some of you in here, talking about pain or talking about our past, like there are some things that are really hard in there. And I really don't want you to hear me trivializing that and saying it's not a big deal, because there are some things that I know for some of us in here, like it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's a big deal that someone died because of it. And so there are some things that maybe are going on in your heart and your life that you know that you just need to confess it to God. Maybe the first thing for some of you need to do today is to realize, man, that I've done some things, God, that I know that are wrong. And the Bible says that because of my sin, I deserve death. The wages of sin is death. I'm separated from you, God, for all eternity. That either I pay for the price of my sin for all eternity, Or I can put my faith in Jesus, who paid the price for my sin, so that I can be forgiven for all eternity. So maybe if that's you today and you say, I want to put my faith in Jesus today. I don't want to hold on to this guilt anymore. I want to confess it to God and be free of that. Just tell him that. Just confess it. Say, Lord, I am so sorry for my sin and that I've sinned against you. God, would you please forgive me? And I'm thankful for Jesus, who died on the cross to pay for my sin as a substitute for me, so that my past doesn't have to define me anymore, but I want to let Jesus define me. So Jesus, help me to become the man or woman, God, that you want me to be, living my life for you and not for myself. And so maybe for some of you here today, maybe there are some things that you need to process and talk about. And so we're going to sing a song. And here's maybe an invitation I want to give for you is, I don't know if we don't normally do this, but if you want to come up towards the front of the stage, kind of maybe call this old school the altar, and you want to get on your knees and just talk to God, confess some things to him, share some things with him, please do that. And if you feel like you need to talk to somebody, right? I'll be right over here. I'll be happy to talk to you. Our Next Steps team will be back here at the back of the table, in the back of the auditorium. We would love to just be there to say, how can we pray for you? What do you need? We want to be available to you. Because we want you to walk out of here not being defined by what's happened in your past, but being defined by what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus declares over you. So Heavenly Father, God, I pray that as we respond and as we sing, that we would let your word, we would let your truth, God, shine over us. We wouldn't let our pasts, we wouldn't let, God, what we have done to be the loudest voice over us, but we would let your word and your voice, Jesus, speak your truth in our lives. We'd be defined by Christ and Christ alone. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.